This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Probably some of you out there wondering, as we return to Kelly and Company, what is that email to send our audio to get some of our thoughts, our feelings, and things that we experienced while at W. Ross McDonald School? Well, I'll just turn here to the lady next to me, virtually, and she'll tell you.
All right. It's WRMS 150th, so 150th, at gmail.com. So one more time, WRMS 150th at gmail.com.
Thanks for being with us, folks. It's Kelly and Company. It's time to bring on Jeff Ryman. We're going to get some experience today out of him as he walks us through what it was like to get a COVID vaccine as we bring him in for Lifestyle Headlines.
From fashion to travel, pets, and more, we cover it all on the Lifestyle Report with me, Jeff Ryman.
Welcome back, Jeff. And this morning we canceled our meeting because you told us, hey, man, going for a vaccine. Somehow the end of the line got pretty short.
I know, right? I know. I keep saying, or I kept saying, I was going to wait and wait and wait. And then I was just sort of curious to see if there were any appointments available. Apparently I live in a hot spot, so yeah. That's why I was able to get the vaccine, you know, maybe a little bit faster than some people. So I just went on there and I was like, I wonder if there's any appointments. And I went to the furthest date available, because, you know, I figured the furthest date would probably be the easiest to get. Nope, everything was booked. I backtracked, and then I only booked this about a week ago. And I was able to find an appointment. It was actually pretty seamless, and it was just sort of, I wasn't even meaning to necessarily book an appointment right then and there, but when I saw the appointment, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to take it. So really seamless.
And it's great because before we get you to walk us through what kind of happened, what your experience was, the hot zones, folks, as people know across the country in different areas, if you've had a rash, they have a certain level that they say, hey, man, the positivity rate here is, and they're all in zones. So thankfully, they're diverting some of the vaccines to these areas to take care. And I think what, Jeff, is it 18 and above in your hot zone?
Yep, 18 plus in my hot zone. So a lot of friends and family have already either booked or have even already gotten their vaccine, which is great. And today when I went, a lot of people were lined up to get their vaccine. So what happens was they tell you a time. So my alluded time was 11:20 a.m. Just so they don't have, you know, a bunch of people in one area at once. I mean, we were still very spaced out in a big gymnasium at the local rec center, but there were still a decent amount of people within that building that were getting their vaccine. Pretty impressive. I mean, you just get there, they tell you to get there no more than 10 minutes prior to your scheduled vaccine. Got there just after 11 o'clock. Couple of checkpoints where they ask you, you know, your typical questions. Have you come in contact with anybody? Do you have any, have you been tested positive? Are you awaiting a test? You know, all that good stuff. Then you go in, you show them your health card, they book you in, you get your shot. You have to wait 15 minutes after you get your shot, just so they can monitor you in case you have any side effects. And then you check out and they give you this little note, and it says when you have to go back to get your next second dose. So it's not like when you go to the dentist and the receptionist is like, all right, when can I book you your next appointment? They just give you that appointment. Although those things could change, of course, if there's more vaccines readily available to us Canadians. So it was pretty seamless. I was honestly in and out within maybe 20, 25 minutes. Didn't really have any trouble. Didn't fused, wasn't overwhelmed. There was tons of support, tons of help. So it was really seamless, you know, really good stuff from the government and from the municipality of Ajax, Ontario, which is where I live. So it was great all around.
Did you, did the needle give you much feeling? We were talking before, I barely felt it at mine. I sat for the 15 minutes, and the next day what I had was more just sleepy and tired.
Yeah, you know what? I did feel it, of course, a little bit of a pinch. If you've gotten your flu shot, I would probably say it's somewhat equal to that in terms of the little prick they give you. I didn't really feel anything go into my body. Sometimes you feel that like fluid go into you and it's kind of like, ugh. But I didn't feel it this time. Like I said, waited 15 minutes, didn't have any side effects. My arm's a little bit tender right now, but that's, you know, pretty typical after you get any type of needle. So far, so good.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing the experience with us and those who feel comfortable. You know, there you go, guys. A little of an idea what to expect. Jeff, where are we starting today?
Going to start with a little bit of gardening. As of course, I think the long weekend, you know, next weekend, a lot of people want to get out. They want to start planting. If you're like me, who has a lot of stuff to do with the lawn care. And I know Susan was talking about that about a couple weeks ago. You know, a lot of people want to get out. Do some outdoor activities, in particular garden. And Kelly, you sent me this article about one of the most dangerous plants in Canada is starting to bloom in our neck of the woods and elsewhere around our beautiful country of Canada. It's called the giant hogweed. And I'm pretty sure that there's actually a song called The Return of the Giant Hogweed by the Genesis, if people are familiar with Genesis. The reason why I know that is because my dad listens to them, and I always joked, there's a weird song, has a funny title, something about hogweed, but Return of the Giant Hogweed. I always made fun of it, but now...
Maybe that's why it sounded familiar. When I heard it, like when I saw the item, that does seem familiar, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't realize, you know, how this could potentially harm people. If you're wondering what the effects could be, it can cause rashes, burns, even blindness in extreme cases to those who come in contact with it. It's just an invasive plant that's getting ready to bloom, of course, because the weather's getting really nice here in Canada, especially in the greater Toronto area. The perennial plant blooms and blossoms in large numbers across the United States and Canada, where it has been spotted everywhere except for the territories. This happens every year between June until August, though it can start to appear a little bit earlier, of course. Again, this sort of just depends on the weather and the weather patterns across the country. Native to in Western Asia, it's believed to have been introduced to Canada as an ornamental plant. The giant hogweed is green before it blooms. The pretty plant packs a nasty bite. Although its sap can cause extreme skin irritation, sometimes even third-degree burns that are made worse with sunlight. So these plants are really something you don't want to fool around with. They can apparently cause blisters when exposed to sunlight as well for up to a decade after initial contact with getting the sap in your eyes. It can cause temporary, even possible permanent blindness. Again, if you see these things, try to stay away from them.
According to the city. Which is an interesting point. Because how, right? Like, I mean, do we know where exactly they may be? Because it sounds like they can pretty much grow anywhere, everywhere.
I wonder how the stuff gets in your eyes too, Rum. Like, you know, is it light enough to get on the wind? Or is it usually somebody gets on their hand and they put it up to their face? Oh, what is
maybe that's it. If we're getting close to it, you know, because, okay, we know that it's going to grow around this kind of environment or something. It just sounds really scary.
Yeah. I think maybe the lack of knowledge that people have, you know, sometimes, especially as a kid, you know, I think this is really important to have your kids steer away from exploring maybe some woods that you're not really, or a forest that you're not really familiar with. You know, I was guilty of that growing up. I have had poison ivy a couple of times.
That's what I was going to say. I kept being told as a kid, be careful of the poison ivy. Anytime we started to itch, but this is a bit more serious. And again, those of you with low vision or blind children, it is something to really watch your area wherever you're sending them out. Because I know as a kid, there was no stopping me. If my parents could have checked every inch of the area that I toured around and, you know, stuck my hand into here, played with this plant, grabbed that up, it wouldn't have been possible for them to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. I mean, even just trying to keep your children away from various things can be very hard, especially when you're outside. Again, when I was a kid, I used to venture off all the time. Didn't really matter what my parents told me. I just still ventured off and did my own thing. And I sort of learned the hard way. And again, with this app, I guess maybe if you touch these things by accident, you know, your hair is in your face and you go to brush your hair away, maybe that can get into your eyes. Tons of different ways on how this can happen.
Up to 10 years.
I know. Yeah,
you might ridiculous. Not even realize you've got a bit of it in your eye, yep. or you know, you think, okay, we got to it in time. That's where you're talking some scary stuff.
Yeah, and again, June until around August, they've got pretty flowers on them, and they can grow up to 5 meters tall, so really tall, and they could have white flowers stemming from them in the right conditions. And they're generally found in moist areas near streams and rivers. So if you're at a cottage or out in the forest and there is a river that flows through, be very careful of what you're touching.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, because if, I mean, truly, so when you're talking about, you know, kids going into woods and unfamiliar greenery, like, watch out, right? But adults like us going camping and things like that, especially for low vision and blind people, you go hiking or you end up in a lot of foliage and you might not realize that some of this stuff is not okay, unless you, of course, call ahead of time and say, hey, is this stuff present at this campground or at this provincial park? But I mean, how do you really limit yourself to that exposure?
That's a pretty big plant too, Jeff. Like you, let's be fair. Right now, they're not going to be that way this season. Maybe not. You know, we're not going to see and plentiful. They may be in that. You know, we may be okay. And it may be something they say. Slow down, everybody. First think. First believe that. You know, but we will know, learn more. But I can tell you, it's the kind of thing you don't want to make a mistake with.
Absolutely. And for me personally, I don't think I have ever seen a giant hogweed. But again, they can look a little bit different depending on the time of year. So you'll be able to spot one by its green stalk and reddish purple blotches. And it's also green before it blooms and produces those small white flowers. And they also have an umbrella shaped head when it does blossom in the summertime. So something to really look out for.
Does it have a scent to it? Do you guys know about the scent?
It doesn't say anything about scent in this article.
I bet it doesn't. I don't think so. I just love the fact.
Easy.
Yeah, and it's a weed, and I love the fact that it has an umbrella type top. Oh, come stand under me. You'll be safe under here.
Right.
Oh, how are you feeling? You know, little drops of this stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, but just pulling up a picture right now, just on the old Google machine, it does look like a giant ragweed, if you're familiar with what ragweed looks like. It's just a massive weed, and then it just grows and grows and grows and has these white, and it does look pretty. It grows and it stems out into a couple of white different flowers. So it almost looks like broccoli to me in a weird way.
That's what I was just going to say. It looks pretty, eh, Jeff? Well, that's just to lure you that's in, dear boy.
Yeah.
I know. So, it kind of has the resemblance of broccoli, maybe even more so cauliflower, since it has that white sort of color. So ragweed with cauliflower is basically what I'm looking at. If I'm going to describe it to somebody who like really familiar with what this looks like. But now if I see ragweed with cauliflower.
Wow, I'll must be hard on animals too.
Really does sound tempting. Like even to just be like, I wonder what this feels like.
Oh yeah. And especially when it's so big. Oh, look at this. Look at this, guys. Get a picture of me standing next to this.
I know. It like I said, it can grow 5 meters. So that would be way over anybody's head.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
5 meters is quite big. And it also goes in to say in this article, if you do spot one, call 311 or report it to the Ministry of Natural Resources. And of course, steer clear. Don't go anywhere near it. Don't try to take pictures or a selfie about it around it. So be very careful, because it kind of sounds funny, the giant hogweed. But this thing can obviously cause a lot of damage and a lot of harm, and not just 1 year.
I love it.
Apparently for a potential decade.
You call it in. Report it. Yes, indeed. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you on Cut for Time later on in the program.
Talk to you in a bit, guys.
on Fridays and Wednesdays. Jeff's with us. Fridays for lifestyle, Wednesdays for health headlines. We'll take a break, and John Beeler, he arrives in a moment, and he's got our app update. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.